Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. Coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania, this is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker and broadcast director of the Ministry of Way of Truth, and we're delighted that you have taken the time to tune our way, and we trust that something from John 15 and the matter of the fruit-bearing of the child of God will be a blessing to your heart. If you do not know the Lord, we trust that this will be the hour, the moment, the day. You come to know him whom to know right is life eternal. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer, quality song, and then getting into the message of the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege it's ours to share the Word of God. We thank you, dear Lord, for providing this platform to share the gospel of Christ. We know that through the internet it goes around the world, and Lord, we just thank you for our pallet station here, WJSM, that launches out our program, and we're just so excited about that. Now, Lord, we pray that you would take the message, and you know the need of each heart, each life, each one that listens, and we ask that you would minister to them in that special way that only you understand and know. And we'll thank you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Daily walking close to thee.
Well, amen. There's a blessed song, a song from the past. I just a closer walk with thee, but all every one of us who name the name of Christ ought to desire that. Well, we're talking about the fruit that should be in your life. This is not the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That is a ninefold fruit, singular, that will be in every believer's life. Some of us will develop it more. Some of us will develop it less. But it is there because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Now, we're not talking about that aspect here. We are looking how Jesus, in John 15, talks about the vine and the branches. And one of these weeks, we will just talk about Christ's messages and how he talked about the things that the people were most familiar with. They lived that kind of life. Well, here they were familiar with the vineyard. They were familiar with how they had to be taken care of and all those things. And so Jesus uses this to set the stage for how you and I ought to live. Now, I just start in verses 1 and 2 just to get the setting, but then I'm going to bring you up to date. We're at number 5, which is in verse number 9, and we're to continue in his love. And I want to bring the other ones up. You know, we've been here a couple of weeks, and sometimes we'll forget the trail that we came from. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, he'll go on and say much fruit later on. And so God is looking for production. Now, not numbers. We get that idea. But these are the fruit that should be in our lives. And as we look at it, we see it's not something that I can accumulate and say, well, I have 55 of them. How many do you have? No, it doesn't do that at all. And God's not concerned about numbers. He's concerned about faithfulness. Now, he wants us to be producing fruit. If we do not, he said, that branch is broken off. That branch is taken away. That's the pruning process. Now, notice the first thing of the fruit that we're to bear is found in verse 3. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The cleanliness of the child of God. That only happens as we get into the Word of God and study the Word of God, read the Word of God. Sometimes you and I just need to sit down and read the Word of God, not that we're trying to study and find 3 points in a poem to make up a message, but just simply sit down with the Word of God in front of us. You might have a piece of paper and a pencil. I usually always have to have that. But the point is, you sit down and you let the Word of God, and then sometimes as you're reading the Word of God, you see the cleaning process starts, the pruning process, if you please. God says, hey, Elwood, you need to get some of this stuff taken care of. And he shows me what I need to do, and so it's from his Word. Now, that doesn't happen unless you're in his Word. So we need to read. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The study of the Word of God is not only so I have a message to deliver, a story to tell. It is so I might have a cleansing to produce. Then secondly, he shows us the second fruit when he says, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. That is a matter of abiding in the Lord. And again, that is done through the Word of God. Abiding in him is as I study the Word of God. And it may be also in the context of the Sunday school, the church, in a service, listening to the message of the Word of God on the radio or even on TV, the programs. The other week I was really feeling rough, and I thought, you know what? I need something from the Word of God. So I turned on, and I happened to get two good speakers in a row, and that's a little bit strange on TV or maybe even radio. But thank the Lord. These were two men who really brought forth the Word of God, and it blessed my heart. Well, those are the ways we abide in the Lord. Now, we abide in Him, certainly, by virtue of the fact that we read and study and meditate. You know, Joshua was told to meditate in the Word of God. And so often, you and I just don't take that time. Meditating is taking time to let the Word of God sink into your mind and heart. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time I did that? Well, that is something that is extremely important if we're going to produce fruit for the Lord. Now let's look at the third fruit that he gives. He says, "Ye abide in me, and my words abide in you." See, it's one thing to read the Word of God, to hear it taught and preached. It is another thing to have that word stick within us. That's called memorization. And we need to do that. We need to memorize scripture. You don't have to memorize a whole passage. It's wonderful if you can. Some of us struggle to remember Jesus wept. But anyway, you know, we need to memorize scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, part of that is memorizing scripture. So he says, my words abide in you. I listen or I read, and I've listened too, to people who have been persecuted greatly for their faith, especially when I was traveling into Eastern Europe right after the wall came tumbling down in the 90s. I'd talk to these people who had been imprisoned because they printed a Bible, because they handed the Bible out, because they had services, and so on and so forth. And to listen to these people who were not allowed to carry a Bible or page of a Bible, a songbook, or anything that referenced Jesus Christ into that prison cell, into that hard labor camp. Now, true enough, pages of the Word of God were smuggled into the prison, and what they would do, they would take a page of the Word of God and read it and memorize it and give it to their friend. Their friend would do the same thing, or I should say their prison friend, I guess we'll call it that way. But they would pass it around. They would memorize that. And then when they met, maybe that was one block, cell block, or block where they had to stay, and they would give it to somebody else, and they would exchange papers and have another page that they could read and memorize much of that. Well, that's getting the Word of God into our hearts. You and I don't know we don't know when we might need to draw upon the Word of God. And it's interesting, the Lord said we're not to prepare sermons for when we are captured. He said, don't think what you're going to say. He said, in that hour, I'll give it to you. But you see, beloved, you and I need to read the Word of God and have the Word of God hid in our hearts so that God can bring it to mind in our minds when the hour is needed, that is needed to be brought out. Now, the fourth fruit that we talked about was verse 7, where we had the words abiding in us. Then he says, with that word abiding, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And notice verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so he's saying here that linked to prayer is the Word of God in our hearts. Do you ever wonder why some of your prayers aren't answered? And they certainly are not negative to the Word of God. They're not contrary to God's Word. And you said prayer's not answered. Maybe we're not keeping enough of the Word of God in our hearts, and God can't jog our minds to the Word. I don't know. It could be a lot of different things. But he says, you'll ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Now, so we see that we have this prayer request. Now, look at the fifth thing where we wanted to start, but I wanted to bring you up to speed where we're at. Verse 9 says, and as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. continue ye in my love. Now, I'm going to go back to verse number, I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 now to tie it right in here to this thing of continuing in his love. In other words, we demonstrate that love. 1 John chapters 2 and 3 talk pretty much about that, and we need to pay attention to that. Now, look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Did you take notice? Much fruit is after his word abides in us, and we pray, we ask what you will. Don't ever forget Romans chapter 8 and verses 26 and 27. We like 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But verses 26 and 27 tell us that we don't know how to pray, and then the Holy Spirit takes our prayer request and presents it properly before the Lord. I'm paraphrasing that. You go ahead and read that. So the point is this. You see, the Word of God tells us that we can get an answer to our prayer, but it's got to go according to the Word of God. Now, he said, God is honored and glorified if we bear much fruit. He's already talked about bearing fruit and bearing more fruit. Now, much fruit. God wants to see that much fruit. It's not something we conjure up. It's something that in obedience to his word and his work, in obedience to him, we proceed to do the work of God, whether it be in prayer, whether it be in witnessing, whether it be in teaching, whatever it might be. You see, you and I have that power of God in our lives, have the assurance of answered prayer, and have the comfort of the Word of God. And then we can come down to verse 9, as a father hath loved me, Jesus says. Well, we know the Father loved him. He glorified him. He echoed from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Another time, hear ye him. So God honored his Son, and yes, he did let his Son go to the cross. But that was, again, honoring his Son. His Son paid the ultimate price for your sin, my sin, so that the people of the world could be saved. But as you and I manifest the love of God out to our neighbors and to others, you see, beloved, it'll draw them to understanding that, hey, there's something different about that person. And we don't have to go out and say, wave a flag and say, hey, I have something different. No, we live differently. We talk differently. And we practice differently. Well, beloved, I didn't get as far as I wanted to. Let's listen to a song right now. And then we want to come in and look at the sixth fruit.
Oh, thou thy word.
Abide with me. What a great song that is, and what a tremendous support to this passage of Scripture. Now, I want to go back to something that I should have brought up right when I started, the matter of the Word abiding in us. You know, it's the Lord Jesus who said that it is the Word that keeps us clean. We need to be clean vessels for the Lord. Notice verse 3 of John 15. Now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. You can go over to chapter 17, verse 17, and you'll see that the Lord said in his high priestly prayer, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So in other words, when he's talking about the word of God, the word of God separates us from the word of the world. It makes us a different creature. And so the cleansing comes through the word of God. That helps us to be able to produce. And that is, as we've talked about, the abiding in Christ, we're clean vessels in which he can abide. He said, abide in me and I in you, in verse 4. But he can't really abide in us when we have our lives filled with ourself. And so he needs to clean us out. You know, you need to get those cobwebs cleaned out of your life so that God can work. Well, now, let's look at the sixth thing. We did look at the fifth thing, which was found in verse 9. Sixth thing is found right here in verse 11. In fact, I'm going to go back and pull up verse 10 and 11. But 11 is where we're going to be at. He said, if you keep my commandments, again, that's his word, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's the way we demonstrate our love. You know, I was just reading this morning. I was just reading back in Exodus when the children of Israel came out and they griped and grumbled and complained. And so God sent them manna. That's what they call it, this hoarfrost that laid out in the grass. And they got to it. Now, God said, you pick so much on Omer each day. That's what you get. Don't leave it overnight. Eat it up today. And so then he said, but when you come on the sixth day, which would have been Friday, he says, get a double portion. In other words, gather twice as much. And what these people would do, just like we are today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Friday was okay, get double. But they tried to get extra of this and put it in. And what did it do? It started to stink, and worms got in it because they were not to bring extra. They were to bring exactly what God said. They'd have so much. Well, you know, you and I do that in our lives sometimes when we allow the cobwebs and all those kind of things stay in our lives. God cannot work in and through us as he wants to do. Now look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You notice he is talking. He says, listen, if you apply these other five things, and demonstrate that love, keep your lives clean, as verse 3 talks about. And that, you see, he says then that these things will be in you. You'll understand them, and you will have joy. You know, the children of Israel griped when they smelled the rotten stink of the manna, and they saw the worms that repulsed them. But it was their fault. They did it. They allowed it to be there. If it obeyed the Lord, there was no reason they couldn't enjoy it. They rejoiced when they first got it, got the manna, but then they started griping about how they only had manna. You couldn't satisfy them, and just like you and I, many times we cannot be satisfied. But notice he says that we're to bring forth this joy. We're to have joy. Here in chapter 10 of John, when he talks about the shepherd and the sheep, he talks about them that he wants them to have life and have it more abundantly. Now, this joy that he's talking about is not the element of having, you know, what we call happiness, laughing and jolly and all that kind of stuff. But there's a joy, there's a peace. Jesus did say this. He said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." There is a peace that passeth all understanding. That is the joy that we have in our hearts and lives. The joy that even though I might go through, as the psalmist said in 23, that they, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? Thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, the shepherd or the sheep are saying, we don't have to worry because the shepherd's got everything under control. My friend, I ask you this. Does God have everything in control in your life? You see, it's a matter of surrender. And I would ask you to really look, are you a clean vessel? Are you one abiding in his word and putting together the various things that we've just talked about? You know, we'd like to be of spiritual help to you. That'd be our delight. So if you want to contact us, you might contact us at WOTBM.org, and then make note, message of truth, and then express the situation, and we'll be glad to get back to you in correspondence. You'll not get on a mailing list. It's not for doing anything except helping you with your need. If we can help you, we want to do that. Father, take the word, meet the need of each one, and we're going to thank you because we've asked it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you, my friend.